He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
I want to start out with a front grill rant this morning because I saw what I thought was a Ford Escape coming up behind me, or coming to the station this morning, and very quickly I saw that it wasn't a Ford oval in the middle of the front grill. It was an H for Hyundai, you know, this slanted H. And it looked absolutely identical to the Ford Escape front grill. And, of course, periodically on this show, listeners will hear me talk about front ends and rear ends being too similar so that you can't recognize cars coming down the road, or dissimilar so that you can recognize cars coming down the road. And I have always been one to not want to buy a car that you couldn't easily recognize coming down the road. And for the most part, I think all my cars have unique grills that I can see and spot what the model is.
Well, it's like having an eye for design.
Your Sonata looks the same from the front and the back.
That's neither here nor there.
That's right. What is neither here nor there.
The point is, and it just, this is one of those classic digressions that for which I am famed, but there was a wonderful article today where it has just been somehow realized after 20 years that you need an editor-in-chief to sort of weed through all of the information and the content and the data. And what has happened with cars in the last X, other than us being told that no one needs them and that there's a whole generation that isn't going to drive anymore, and anyway, you just want to sit and, you know, watch a movie while your car is moving from point A to point B, is that whole magical design component, like, let's make this attractive, seems to have become less, except in the very high end, of course. It seems to have become less important.
No? Jay is raving to get on.
I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of effort and energy put into design. I'm not sure that the results are necessarily
satisfactory
or.
Well, from an efficiency standpoint, I'd like to object that if you're putting a lot of time and energy into something that's just so pathetic.
I don't think it's all pathetic. I think there's some very good designs out there. There's also some very bland designs. Some of the more bland designs are actually, I think, pretty good. I think the new Ford Escape, for instance, coming out, and it should be at the auto show in New York, is, I think, very, very
attractive
in it's very simple. The lines are very clean. I tend to like that, and actually, when I look at the front of it, it reminds me a little bit of a Tesla with a grill. But that's just me. Maybe I see the Tesla that's not there. But
no, but a clean line. I'm just, all I'm mentioning is that it needs to trigger some sort of aesthetic appreciation.
Emotional.
Not everybody,
I think it needs to.
Not everybody has the same.
Trigger an emotional feeling as well, or whatever you want to look at it. But
like,
I think the Lexus grills, for example, could be interesting, nice, but some of them have gotten too big across the front end.
I think we agree on one thing: the Lexus, the minivan, the Chinese market Lexus.
Well, that's
minivan.
What prompted this comment, because we both saw that picture, and it's got the largest Lexus grill of the Lexus grills of this design in the world.
It could
and
be
it's
a Peterbilt
Chinese
grill.
Car. Maybe the Chinese like big gaping grills, but they certainly will have it with the Lexus. But it's even bigger than a couple of the U.S. models, which I have found to be unappealing, except possibly in the color black, where it vanishes into the blackness of the hood and the side fenders
grill.
And all that. It's a black grill and all the other colors. So you can see it coming down, and it appears too big.
Somebody needs to stop.
Well, let's not forget the reason for having grills in the first place, right? The grills were
cooling fins.
The cooling fins, and they were the protection to the radiator, which sits in back of the grill.
Well, and it was nothing much about protecting the radiators because they're plastic and lightweight, and they don't have a lot of resistance to crash protection. But it's a nice thought, Jay.
Well, and grills have kind of, you know, what you see Tesla now, they had a fake grill when they started the Tesla S a few years ago, and then they took the grills off, and now there's just this kind of little bump in the front of the hood, but there really isn't any reason to have anything in the front.
Well, you're going to have something in the front. What do you want to have behind that? Nothing.
Design
you want?
Meaning in the shape and form of a grill.
No, they don't. They put a panel in matching the color of the rest of the body of the car in the Teslas because there's no cooling needed for the battery packs. They're not in the front. There's no engine.
The point being that even though it is no longer utilitarian, you still have a design component that makes a difference, no?
Well, you can recognize the newest Teslas by the fact that there is no grill. And it's across the board. But the 2021 Volkswagen ID. Croz, C-R-O-Z-Z, I guess you got to extend the Z's, is also like the Tesla front end because it will be an electric vehicle, Toto. There won't be a gasoline engine behind it, which needs any kind of cooling air.
Is that how you're meant to recognize electric vehicles?
That will be a way to recognize electric vehicles because every other vehicle with a combustion engine needs a cooling vane or entrance for air to go to cool the radiator that's cooling the hot water that's boiling in the engine. Yes, Jay?
Probably. Okay. I mean, why should electric vehicles look different?
Well, exactly, because
Audi e-tron looks like an Audi, doesn't look like...
They have the Audi grill in front of the Audi e-tron.
And they don't try to make it look at all like anything like a Tesla.
Good.
Very true.
Just shows, I mean, a little independent thought's always welcome.
Really?
Yes, okay. Jay, what would you like to talk about?
We still haven't gone to the auto show.
I'm going this Wednesday of this show's broadcast, and you're going...
The day after, I believe. What are you looking for?
Well, I probably don't really know. I don't have a list in my head because there are going to be 7 new automobile manufacturers, I think, or maybe it's 9 that are showing up, and I didn't read what the list was. They may be Chinese-based. They may be a couple European-based. I don't think there's a new American manufacturer unless it's got a Chinese...
Rivian?
Rivian, yes. The Rivian is one.
Rivian is a truck and SUV electric vehicle manufacturer. And they've come out with both a pickup truck and an SUV. That is pretty
interesting looking.
And who are they?
You know,
BuzzFeed.
We didn't research that for this show.
I don't know much about it, but
I thought it was
pretty serious.
Chinese.
No, it's American.
But Jay said it's American. So, and here it is, the 2021 Rivian. Now that is a unique looking pickup truck.
Now,
would you not
guys,
agree?
I'm staggered. Since speaking of independent thought, wouldn't you want to know which one of the majors is invested in this and changed the name?
Well, I think GM was going to be connected originally to it, but I think they bailed. And I'm not exactly sure why, but I don't think GM's going to be connected to Rivian
right,
in any
so
way. They
is it Rivian as an
R-I-V-I-A-N?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you'll hear all about it after the show because we'll come back with all the information.
That anybody needs to hear, including you, I hope.
All right. So
but Rivian's going to be all-electric pickup truck. It's going to be the first all-electric pickup truck on the market. And the question is will it sell – and will it be actually able to do pickup work effectively with the battery power or not? And presumably it will because they wouldn't put it on the market and bring it to the forefront if it couldn't do what a pickup can do. But, you know, weight drains batteries faster than anything other than cold weather and accessory running.
Which just suggests that there's already existing battery power that's only being
dribbled
out.
And part of the, you know, look at what you do with a pickup truck. You know, you won't need to guys running their tools out of their trucks can now use the power from the battery in or on the truck or under the truck to power their power tools, for instance. So
how strong is that battery?
It's going to be strong.
That battery, in other words, that battery's got to be
It will be.
So happy for them. Isn't that interesting? Is that proprietary?
Know when we come back from the show.
All right.
Everything.
Jay's going to research it in depth. I probably will look at it, but not
what
else? What else are we looking for at the show? I mean, I can throw a few that I look forward to seeing. Some are just mainstream market, mass market cars, like the Subaru Outback, the Hyundai Sonata, which we can come back to and discuss design.
Yes, because the Sonata has apparently been significantly redesigned to try to bring back some emotion into the look of the original design, of which I still own one, and it happens to have talk about front ends. The grill that I thought should remain exclusive to the hybrid version, they didn't sell enough of them. They didn't bring that grill to the succeeding, each succeeding version or year of the Sonata beyond what the 2000, I think it was, 12 to 14 series was. But I've seen some pictures of it. Indeed, I think it looks better than the current series of the Sonata, which has been out for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. They grew the Sonata a bit when they went from my series to the next series up, but they also lost some of the, in my view, opinion, the emotion of the front end and the side styling of the car. So I think other people finally got through to them, and the designers supposedly are re-emotionalizing the version that's about to be seen at the auto show.
Well, Hyundai hired a few years ago Luc Donkerwalk, who's a Belgian native, I believe, who was the head of design at Audi and then Lamborghini. And he is now, he's got a big position at Hyundai. It's head of design, but it's
great.
Even more than that.
Just like Mazel Tov.
And actually, I think, you know, come to think of it, the front of the Hyundai Sonata is a little
Audi-esque. Audi.
And the rear, if you look at the lights, have a little of a Lamborghini look.
Well, nothing like stealing a designer from one manufacturer to come to work for your manufacturer. Okay, here's my rant about that. Where is the loyalty for the people that worked for these vehicles for a long time? It's in the purse, and which means there is no loyalty to stay with a manufacturer. But if you had a Lamborghini design chief and he gets bought away to go help another manufacturer try to redesign some of their vehicles.
It frees up the position for a new Lamborghini designer.
Yeah. If that's what you want, but maybe you don't want that because maybe the Lamborghini designer equipped in his head and evolutionary designs to stay on.
Okay.
What are you saying here? The guys should stay at Lamborghini till retirement?
No, I'm saying that just as I say when automobile manufacturers hire new chiefs or anybody, they don't necessarily hire anybody that has the knowledge of the manufacturer that's hiring them in their gene pool of knowing what Ford has done over 50 years or GM's done over 50 years. They just hire because they want to change the regime, and it may or may not bode well for the manufacturer going forward. You don't know that until sometimes it can be a little too late.
But in my view, it's like a symphony hiring a different conductor, mm-hmm. you know, because the conductors move on. You've still got the orchestra. It's a question of being able to make it.
I think Hyundai's decision was well thought out,
because they have less history
than a Ford, a GM, or some of the European manufacturers. I mean, they're a newer car company. And I think there was a thought that they did not have a style or design that represented the brand. And I think hiring Donkerwalk was a great idea.
First you make the mark.
May be wrong.
Does everybody remember when the first Hyundais came out and they were tin can, just like the first Subarus? I remember trying to drive a Subaru, my friend Caroline York's Subaru, down Greenwich Street in 1984. And the thing sounded like a tuna can.
It drove like a tuna.
And we now talk about Subaru with this. So that's 40 years.
So I was kind of looking forward to seeing the new Outback. Yeah. You know, the pre-production pictures made us think that maybe it could be a little,
new.
New.
Subaru's trying to make a little think bold. It's all new.
A little bold, but it's not. You look at the new Outback from the pictures I've seen since it was unveiled just last week. It's just an evolution of the current Subarus.
Well,
which is
Subaru,
okay. They'll sell a lot of them.
Let's face it. Subaru has got a design grip on a design that seems to be very appealing to the buyers. Plus, it's got an incredible reputation for reliability, even though there are glitches here and there in some manufacturing segments of it. You don't necessarily want to mess design-wise with a good thing. And to the good thing part of Subaru, which still amazes me that other manufacturers aren't reverting to, is the great glass, the amount of glass in the Subaru Forester, for example. You can actually see out of it all four directions. And at that for that particular model and any of the competition that's out there, Subaru is head and shoulders sort of above the rest of them, allowing you to see out of it. When I drove the Subaru, a Subaru Forester recently, you know, I just loved the light that came in, but not only that, like the visibility out the rearview mirrors and out the back inner mirror was just wonderful against the, let's say, the Land Rover or Range Rover Evoque, or some of these ones have been squished down on the back ends, which they still seem to be doing, which cuts down the glass, increases the metal, and makes the visibility less
attractive,
less good. But Jay will counter that by saying we are going to go to cameras and we won't need to look out the back windows. But I think that's a nice argument, and maybe the next generations will get very used to it. But some of us who still like to look over our shoulders out the back window to see what we're backing up to instead of trying to rely on cameras.
I'm going to say the same thing that I said before about this sudden realization after 20 years of people trying to figure out what are we supposed to read? There's too much. I need to listen. Well, no, I'm going back to that simply because as part of driving, you actually need to be able to see out of the car, irrespective of whether.
Well, that's what made Volvos so great for years. The wagons and the Volvos were big square boxes. The old Jeep Cherokees were big square boxes, but they weren't aerodynamic. And when we were going towards a 45 mile per gallon average, or whatever it was going to be, way above the ability of larger vehicles to ever achieve. The design started changing to emphasize aerodynamic airflow to get that extra tenth of a mile per gallon or 2 miles per gallon better, as they were trying to get, while maintaining some kind of performance capability, which involves slimming down the engine sizes but adding turbochargers and superchargers.
Now, speaking of which, Robert, what were you driving? You got a V6 or a V8 loaner last week while you were away?
In his truck?
In the truck. It was a Hemi 5.7 liter Hemi V8 in the Dodge Classic 1500 pickup truck.
Was
irreplaceable.
That is true.
Okay.
Although they have sonic muffler systems now.
Have you seen the latest thing that Ford is doing? They're coming out. I'm going on a tangent, but only slightly. We're talking trucks and big V8s.
Right.
Ford is justifying putting out a 7.3 liter overhead valve,
gas.
No overhead cam, gas engine for their Super Duty trucks. And
yeah, so much
long
for
story
downsizing
short,
engines.
Yeah, and long story short, they were like, yeah, smaller engines and overhead cams and turbo engines are all fine and dandy if you don't need all the power all the time. But in the assumption, assuming that the truck is going to be towing, for instance, if it's a big truck or if it's going to be heavily loaded and the engine is going to be operating under stress, then the best engine and the operating performance is best if it is a large engine operating
engine
at relatively low RPM.
Correct.
And
so we're back,
is,
with big V8s.
Allegedly because of low gas prices being maintained. Exactly.
Well, and they're saying that they're more fuel efficient than a smaller turbo engine.
That's true.
Because they're assuming these engines will operate under
pressure.
The smaller Ford engines are reportedly very uneconomical when they're towing or carrying a heavy load. And
that's like having your Chihuahua tow your sled.
Well, it's like I said, the Audi V8 got better mileage than the A4 because it didn't work as hard to go the same speed. And it goes across the board. Jay's right, and the manufacturers are. We'll see how long they last, given gas prices. But I want to go to one more thing. Jay, all these new technologies that are out include the self-steering cars or the steering correctable steering cars that it stay between lanes. It used to be the situation you could tell whether a car was out of alignment because if the car drifted right or left, it might mean that you had an out of alignment front end. I think the self-steering mechanisms are going to obviate that ability to define whether or not you have a front end out of alignment, because the car will be correcting you won't be able to tell whether the car is actually going across right or left because of an alignment problem, as opposed to the driver inattentiveness or driver laziness, as the case might be. Would you like to comment on that?
I'm not sure if there's a question.
Well, the question is the self-steering car going to eliminate the ability to tell whether your car might be out of alignment in the front end by the once upon a time drifting that they said if your car goes right or left and it's not the camber of the road, may need to have an alignment. And so with a self-steering car, it will never continually go right
first
or left.
First of all, I'm not so sure that that many people actually let
they
go.
Don't.
Okay, so...
I
don't think it's going to make any difference.
It probably won't, but it's just another thing that the technology is erasing one capability of identifying something to some people as opposed to giving you a much greater safety.
I don't know why you don't just stick with the big things such as driving. That commercial – there's an ad. It's for autonomous vehicles, and it's this father essentially tried to kill his entire family, and it takes place in California on a cliff, and – you know, the car is going all over, and the guy is looking at his phone, and his wife and his children are, and the voiceover is, one day there will be self-driving cars so you can all watch the movie. And then he turns around, and he's watching a movie as the car is, but right now, don't drive distracted. Like, that's really idiotic.
Jay, before I comment,
go right ahead.
I still cannot get myself seeing that America will actually sit in front of a steering wheel of a car and look at a movie without worrying about whether the car is going to run into something.
This guy seems okay with it.
I don't think self-driving cars are there to let you watch TV or do anything else or be distracted. I mean, and I go back to comparing this, and this is a little simplistic, but, you know, airplanes fly on autopilot, and yet we pay the guys in the front of the plane to actually, drive the airplanes and pay attention and program them. It's a job.
Right.
And I say again and again and again that I think it's going to take more sophisticated drivers to drive these cars rather than less sophisticated drivers. The skills needed are just going to be different.
And if that's the case, then I just think it's foolish. And this is to the initial point
to eliminate
drivers? I think it's foolish.
Pointless, in a way.
It is foolish to say, hey, you can watch a movie, but rather, you're going to need a different skill set. So let's all get in here and figure out what that's going to be.
But it isn't watching a movie.
But it is not watching a movie.
And you watch these people and these ads for the self-driving cars, self-steering cars, the Cadillacs and all that, and I look where their hands are, and their hands are on their knees or on their laps, and the woman or the man is trying to sort of have a little bit of a grin on his face. And
those are actors.
Very calm. Yes. And the small print says, do not try this yourself. it's a professional driver at the wheel or whatever it is. And I think it's going to be a long time running, and I'm probably not going to be around to see it really take over the world.
So in the final, so really, auto show coming up. It's late, but still, right? It opened last week,
and it'll end this weekend.
But any feedback?
We will
feedback?
Be back for eight.
I haven't heard any. I'm still looking forward to it. Oh, and I keep coming back. One more car. You know that Mazda diesel we've been talking about for 5 years?
Is it going to be a dollar show?
You can order Mazda diesel now. Why? I don't know, but
you can.
You can. I'd like to see the new Mercedes GLS. That's a big Mercedes SUV. By the way, I saw a new BMW X7 around here.
We're going to see the new Ford Explorer for 2020, too, which is meant to be now on a new platform and rear-wheel drive based.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarc, and this is Car Keys.